to Ezekiel chapter 37. We're going to be there for another couple of weeks. Ezekiel chapter 37. And we're so excited about how God is working through his word to bless his people. And we're looking at the first five verses of Ezekiel 37. We've been talking about dry bone situation. Now, you all remember that? Amen. Now it's part two. Amen. We had part one last week about these dry bone situations. And what we discovered is that there are five pillars of which we want to build our faith upon. And we get that from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 5. And it reads thus, so you can read out loud with me if you care to. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. What a mighty word. You may be seated. Look at somebody while you're going to your seat and say these words, Lord, help me to see it your way. Look at somebody else and say, Lord, help me to see it your way. God bless you. Father, we thank you again for the wonderful privilege of sharing your word. Encourage us, strengthen us, but then use us that we might be instruments of thy glory. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that your word has to work in our lives that it might accomplish your good work. Thank you for all these blessings and all this gift. We pray in Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. Getting a clear vision is critical. Getting a clear vision is critical. I go each year at least once to visit the eye doctor. By the way, when you get older, you're going to meet a lot of doctors that you never met before. They're going to help you. And they'll tell you what you need to do in order to maintain good health. Can I get a witness from the old folks this morning? So you visit them because you want a clear vision. Without your vision, you cannot see what you're doing. You cannot focus on what's really, really important for your life. You need clear vision. Clear vision helps us to understand not only the things that we see with the eye, but also with our spirit. Would it be wonderful if you ran into every situation and you could already see what you needed to do and how you needed to grab hold of resources? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But that's not always possible. You meet with situations and circumstances, you don't know what it is, and you certainly don't know how you're to approach it because you lack that clear vision. Ezekiel was brought out. Now, listen, he didn't walk into the valley. God snatched him up in a vision and showed him, Ezekiel, here is a valley full of dry bones. You're in the midst of that valley. He said, one thing is there are very many of them. It wasn't a few. There's very many in the open valley, spread out, scattered. They're in the valley. Some of you today are in a valley. You're in a valley of sickness or a valley of debt or a valley of confusion. Anytime you have turmoil that's going on in your life, you can be in that valley. Amen. You say to yourself, what do I need? You need a clear vision. And only God can help you to see things the way they are. We have to be willing to admit that sometimes when we pray, we're praying to get God to see it our way. Nothing wrong with that. If you got a need and you feel like I need the Lord to bless me this way, but I learned from experience, you can't tell God what to do. Amen. But you can't ask him how he's going to do it. As we read in our text, Ezekiel was given an impossible question. An impossible question. Some of you have been encountering an impossible question, one that you don't have the answer to. You wish you did, but you don't understand it. And in those valleys, you cry out, Lord, why? Why did it turn out this way? You know, I thought you and me were tight. I thought we were close. And yet I'm in this place and don't know what to do. I'm in a circumstance that I don't know how to handle it. Why? God asked Ezekiel the impossible question in that valley. Remember, it had bones everywhere, scattered. And God asked him this audacious question, can these bones live? And Ezekiel knew what they were, but he could not answer God. Because you got to understand that when you're in the prophetic ministry or as a prophet, you don't come up with your own answers. You get God's answer. And I want to say to you that in your heart, in your spirit, when it comes to spiritual leadership, you got to stop telling yourself you know what needs to be done. You don't know what you're talking about. And end up, you'll choose a path or a way that is not good. Or you choose a path or a way that leads in a different direction and you don't want to go there. Look at somebody, tell them, you don't want to go there. So the prophet, the one that's going to be used of God, must wait until God gives him the answer. In this verse, we see Ezekiel responding in an appropriate way to God. He says, Lord, you haven't given me that word. Well, he didn't say it, but it infers that in the answer. He said, Lord, you know. And until you tell me, I don't know. Let me tell you something. I wish we would live in the type of life that we would listen to things that's coming out of heaven rather than things that are coming out of the world. Let me just go and say this. In other words, Facebook is messing a whole lot of folks up. A lot of these news media that claim to give you the whole truth, they're not giving the whole truth because they don't give you God's truth. They got this little twist to it, this little angle to it. I want to hear the news that's coming out of heaven. I want to hear the encouragement that's coming out of heaven that tells us no matter how bad it is, you haven't heard from God yet. Can I get a witness in the house? So you need a clear vision. Everybody say clear vision. Now, let me go back to our friend, Coach Tony Bennett, UVA basketball team. Let me go back to him. We were on him on last week, and we talked about some of the things that he gave to the team when he came there in 2009. Tony Bennett, head coach of the UVA basketball team, had come from Washington State, had done some amazing things there, but now he's got a team, and they're not really functioning at the level of where they need to be. Can you imagine him walking in and saying to the team, we're going to be national championship, or national championship team. We're going to win the title this year. No. It took them 10 years. From 2009 to 2019 to get that championship. But he gave them five pillars. Y'all remember what those were? Well, I didn't remember. You remember, that's fine. I didn't remember, so I wrote them down. So Mr. Bennett said that, first of all, we need this thing called humility. We need to be humble. Know who you are. Humility. Second thing we need is passion. Passion. And that is, don't be lukewarm. You saw that yesterday when our team of, what do we call them? Our event team, they had passion. Out there, it wasn't that hot, but it was still summertime. And it let you know that it was summertime. And I was so happy to see the young kids out there giving out these, what do you call them, icicles? Popsicles? Man, I got me two of them. You need passion. Where's the passion in the church? And this is a coach that is telling a basketball team, and I wish the church would get a hold of this. If you're going to serve God, you need humility, know who you are, but you also need passion. Do not be lukewarm. And then you need unity. Do not divide our house. Man, I like that one. Do not divide. You could disagree with a whole bunch of stuff, but Bennett saw that if we're going to win this thing, we cannot divide our house. A house divided against itself cannot stand. If one of us hurt, we all hurt. If one of us celebrate, we all celebrate. We're the church of the living God. So Bennett went on to give us the fourth principle. He said, humility is the first, passion is the second, unity is the third. Do not divide our house. And then he said, servanthood. Make your teammates better. About that time, I'm reading this on this T-shirt. Brother Mac, I'm over there in Madison Heights. I'm reading it on a T-shirt. I said, man, I need this for the church right here. But the Lord gave me something else for you all. I'm rehearsing what Bennett said because I think it's very important that we make our teammates better, make them shine, play as a team, don't play as a hero. Everybody wants to put on the cape. Everybody wants to put on the, we had Batman and Batwoman yesterday. I took pictures with them. I'm gonna let y'all see that. I took pictures with them, yeah. So everybody wants to be a hero, but Bennett saw if we're gonna win this national championship, we need everybody to play as a team. Make your teammate better. And then number five, he said, we need thankfulness. Learn from each circumstance. And they went on, and the story is they went on to win the championship and have been ranked as a national team ever since then because they got five principles. Now, do they have some bad years? Yeah, they're going to have some bad years. Have they lost some? Yeah, you're going to lose some games, but you don't lose your vision. Because you see what you need to do, and you do it. We need that in the church. 2,500 years or whenever Ezekiel wrote this, probably over 2,800 years, when this was recorded, they were in captivity. The nation of Israel had been taken captive by the Babylonians, and they're in a situation now where they cannot see their way out. They're struggling as a nation, and listen, you can't be a nation if you're not in your own country. You cannot be a nation if you lose your culture. Are y'all with me? So when Ezekiel describes this situation, he's talking about a nation of people. They've lost their land that they used to have, that had been, God gave them because he did that for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They lost the land. They no longer live in there. They're losing their culture because they're surrounded by all of these other religions. And sooner or later, they're going to lose their purpose. See, when you don't have a vision, you forget about what your purpose is. Now your purpose could be, well, I'm just, what are you doing? I'm hanging in there. You ain't Tarzan. Got to have a clear vision. And what God wanted to show Ezekiel, the nation is never going to get out of this if they don't have a clear vision, and they cannot get a clear vision unless they hear from me. Now, what if, I'll close my sermon here. I can see y'all batting your eyes. That tells me one thing. Either you got something in your eye or you're getting ready to shut them for a few minutes. But what a great place to go to sleep in the church. We done prayed over the place. The devil ain't nowhere around. Now, we do not hand out pillows, okay? Hang in there a few minutes. But what are we saying? We're saying that if you're going to get through your valley situation, you need to hear from God. And when you hear from God, God will give you this thing called a clear vision. We also gave you on last week five principles that we're giving here at Crossroad because I don't think we should be just a mediocre church. I think we should be a great church. Why? Because we got a great God. Everything else will take place. Everything else will fall into place if we can determine one thing, and that is the greatness of God. If you center on that and focus on his mighty word, you won't have a problem with anything else. So what are the five pillars that God gave us in our dry bone situation? One, admission. Admit. Know when the problem is bigger than you. That'll preach anywhere. Matter of fact, I'm going to preach it somewhere. I'm not going to just preach it here. I'm going to preach it everywhere I go. I'm going to get online. Tell folks, you got to admit, problem is bigger than you. What happens with us? We think, oh, I can handle this. You get out there, and as my grandma say, you fart yourself on out there. Next thing you know, overwhelmed. Oh, how am I going to get out? Well, you got yourself into it. But you got to admit when the problem is bigger than you. Second thing we said is observation, and that's what I want to close this message on. Observation means you pay close attention to what God tells you. Pay close attention to it, because that's going to be the plan that you operate from. Pay close attention. How many of y'all ever done scientific investigation? How many of y'all? Just show up here. How many of y'all had to do research in a lab or something like that, figure out stuff? Yeah. Okay. So one of the things that you want to do is make sure you get it right. Because you might have somebody else's life. I'd hate to have a situation, going back to my medical example, I hate to have a situation where the doctor got my chart crossed up with somebody else's chart. Boy, that'd be a bummer. You want to make sure that you're getting the right information and going with it. Speaking of right information, if Ezekiel had gone down to that valley on his own and seen this vision, what if the voices of the people, what if all the surrounding community, and especially the people of Israel, what if they start commenting on this fact? Ezekiel, this is a valley that is hopeless. He would have heard the voice of doubt, the voice of negativity that would say, you're never going to get out of this. As a matter of fact, it tells us what the people were saying. As we look on down in the text, some of the people of Israel were making comments about this valley that they found themselves in. And here's what they were saying to one another: our bones are dried, our hope is lost, and we are cut off. Isn't that something? Now, don't raise your hands on this one. I don't want you to respond on. How many of y'all got negative friends and negative folk that surround you? And somebody raising your hand. I ask you not to raise your hand. Don't. But when you think you're on the right path, oh, it's not going to work. I don't know how Rocky made it with Bullwinkle. Bullwinkle made it with Rocky. But every time Bullwinkle will come up with, I'm talking with young people now. Rocky and Bullwinkle used to be a cartoon back in the day, okay? You can still get it on the Cartoon Network. But Rocky was forever telling Bullwinkle, what? That trick will never work. You got people in your life, they'll tell you, you're not going to get through with this. I'm quite sure that Jamari probably heard some negative reports. But if I ever met a positive, boy, he's what, 11 years old, 10 years old? Nine. If I ever met a nine-year-old young kid that's positive, it's him. Facing cancer that could have taken his life. And every time you see him, he's smiling. Why? Something positive on the inside. Something on the inside that's telling him everything's going to be all right. Amen. If you don't hear anything else that I preach in this message today, when God gives you a clear vision, if you don't see anything else, you ought to see this. God's going to work this out. Everything's going to be all right. You don't have the answer. Your friends don't have the answer. But guess who's got the answer? Amen. Come here, Mahalia Jackson. Tell the folks about it. She would tell you, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole wide world. And somewhere in there is you and me. Somewhere in that situation, God has our problem. You don't have to worry about it. Look at somebody and tell them, God's got this. I feel like preaching right now. What if Ezekiel had heard not only the voice of his countrymen that were telling them that it was all over, but what if he'd heard the voice of the devil? And I'm quite sure the devil would try to tell him, you're never going to get out of this because I'm in control of it now. This is what I call the problem preaching to you. You run into a situation and now that situation plays back in your mind. It keeps rewinding the tape, that tragedy, that hopeless condition, that valley full of dry bones. Now it's not just you're dealing with that, but it keeps replaying. And you keep hurting. You keep reliving it. Boy, if I'd never come here. Boy, if I'd never got into this situation. Oh, I can't forget what my doctor told me. I can't forget what that person did to me. Oh, I can't. Bad news. Bad news. But that's where God told Ezekiel, right in the valley that was full of dry bones, Ezekiel, preach to him. Don't let the problem preach to you. You preach to it. Got bad finances? Preach to your finances. Tell your finances. You're struggling now, but we're going to get better. Instead of letting the bill collectors call you and tell you what you're going to do, you call them up and say, listen, I may not be able to pay you but $10 a month, but I'm going to pay you every penny of it, $10 a month. Just don't charge me all that interest. Y'all still in the house? Instead of allowing your sickness to preach to you, preach to it. I may be hurting, but I got a God who's going to see me through this, and then God will lead you to the right doctors. The right doctor will give you the right medication. The right medication will help you to feel better. And while all of that's working, everything worketh for good for them that who love God. You're letting your problems preach to you. When you lay down at night, your problem will wake you up and say, are you worried? And then your problem will tell you, well, here's something you need to worry about. But when your problem wakes you up, you said, Lord, I'm woke now. I'm going to let you speak to me. Speaking of a valley, David in the Bible was walking through a valley. And you know what? Rather than let the valley preach to him, he said, Lord, talk to me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let God help you preach to your problem. And I guarantee you, if the problem doesn't go away, it's going to get better. I watch these athletes, you know. I'm trying to get a little bit athletic with my golf swing. But I watch these athletes. How that the more weight you put on them, they get stronger. You ever notice that? Next thing you know, you got this little tiny kid, you know. Next thing you know, he comes back, he's all bulked out and everything. And how'd you do that? I worked out. What if God, and I'm about to close, what if God let you go to that valley so he could give you a workout? Are y'all still in the house? You say, I don't know about that. God didn't depend on you. He's dependent on himself. God is not saying what you got to do. Because Ezekiel said, Lord, I don't know. But then the Lord said, preach to your bones. And tell your dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. If you notice the next verse in verse 5, he said, In other words, God's going to back up what you say. Let me just close out by telling you, you got too much negativity in your library. You got the negative thoughts on this and negative thoughts on that. Well, somebody else had that same problem. They didn't make it, but that's not you. Somebody else had that same bad marriage and it went bad, but that's not you. You are in God's hand, and you need to speak to your problem and say, problem, I don't know why you came here. I don't know why I'm here, but guess what? You're going to hear the word of the Lord. Amen, somebody. God will show you the things that need to be done. God will show you
the things that you need to declare. So last week we talked about admission, and we say that it's admitting, knowing when the problem is bigger than you, but observation is when we pay close attention to God's answer. The same way that you see a scientist or some researcher poring over their work, looking at it, making notes, making details. And guess what happens? When you get up in the morning and you start reading the Word of God, say, Lord, here's my problem, here's my dry bone situation. I want to observe how you're going to tell me what I need to say. And God will give you a prophetic word. He will tell you that everything's going to be all right. I brought you to this to work out. Now, let me close by telling you, I grew up in a rural area, country. You know, when you live on a road, it ain't got no name or number. You in the country. Amen. How many of y'all willing to admit that you grew up in the country? And when folks ask you where you from, you give them the next biggest town. In other words, Lisa, if you're from Appomattox, somewhere out in the country, you tell them, well, I'm from the town of Appomattox. And knowing you a couple miles down the road, are y'all still here? I grew up in a place near Dryburgh, and Dryburgh was near Scottsburg because that's the place where they had the post office. Same sign that said hello also said goodbye. But I learned something from my teachers at that Stoughton River Elementary. That's the next neighborhood over. We attended Stoughton River Elementary number 2. Yeah, those were in the days where we were racially divided and everything, but our teachers taught us something. They didn't just teach you reading, writing, and arithmetic. They taught you good manners. They taught you survival skills. When you saw somebody that was older than you, you would say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. You learned this thing called manners. But I remember in that 3-room school that we grew up in, and Jesse had, she was in the same school. She graduated from Stoughton River Elementary number 2 also. I know she looked sophisticated and dignified, but she a country girl. But we learned an important lesson. It's about train crossings. And Ms. Cablett, we learned a simple lesson in 3 words. When you get to a train crossing, you do 3 things. You look. You listen. What? Stop. No, first one, stop. Yeah, that's right. If you don't stop, it doesn't matter with you. Look. So the first one, Ms. Cablett, is you got to stop. Then you got to look. And you got to listen. Our friend Ezekiel, he's brought to this valley, he had to stop. He said, I don't know. But then he had to look. Look to God, the author and the finisher of your faith. Look to him. Rather than looking to everyone else, look to God. Now, you ain't got to worry about stopping. Life going to stop you anyway. As a matter of fact, this pandemic, it had us shut down. How many of you feel like life's about to shut you down? We know about stopping. Problems will stop you. But then you got to learn how to look. Instead of looking to mankind or looking to yourself, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto him, the author and finisher of your faith. Look to him. But then listen. And every time I get to a train, you know this thing works. When I got over into South Korea, they had trains over there. And in South Korea, when I was stationed over there, you get to a train track because, by the way, trains over there go a whole lot faster and they do not stop and ring the bell. They do not have, you know, these little gates that come down, they don't have gates. Bernard can attest to this. When you get to a train track in South Korea, if you don't stop, you better expect that train. So you got to stop. You got to look. You got to listen. Do you not know it was in South Korea that I met God? And I did those 3 things spiritually. I stopped. I had to stop what I was doing, cease my activity. I had to look. And when you get to the place, as Les Brown, the motivational speaker, would tell you, when you get to the place where you don't have anywhere else to look, look up. Amen. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Look to him. And then listen. And that's where Ezekiel poised himself in a prayerful way, opened his heart, and said, God, speak to me. This is a hopeless situation, but speak to me. Tell me that everything is going to be all right. And guess what the Lord said? Preach to your problem, boy. God is saying to you, preach to your problem, girl. Preach to that problem. And the Lord will make a way out of no way. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Did y'all get something? Did you learn? I learned something today. Now we got three more principles. We got three more of them. Remember, we just talked about admission, knowing when the problem is bigger than you. Observation, pay close attention to what God says to you. But then next week, obedience. Act in accordance with what God tells you. That's more to come. God bless you. I want to give the invitation for those that are online. I know it's impossible for you to walk down the aisle. But what you can do is say yes to the Lord. If you're in a dry bone situation and you need God to speak to your heart, he will certainly do that. If you're in the parking lot, just open your heart to the voice of the Lord. And then ask God, help me to see it your way. He will give you a clear vision. He will give you understanding of what you need to do. If you're in here, of course, we do open the doors of the church. We can't shake your hand, but we give you a fist pump. But God will take you and accept you and help you to work through your problem. I'm going to ask the congregation to please stand.